Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
That's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. We go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Folks here still trying to figure out what happened to Ohio State against Michigan. Stuart Mandel covers college athletics for The Athletic, writes all about college football. His podcast, The Audible, must listen to The Audible. Do it. Stuart, great to have you with us today.
Hi, Stuart.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're okay.
We're in Ohio, baby. You know how
yeah,
we're
I
feeling.
Can't be going that well.
I found this interesting on your social media account X, which used to be Twitter. You sent out heading into the primetime games. Here's what you see as the college football playoff field, and you had 1 through 6. Somebody responded to you, Ohio State couldn't beat any of these teams, and you responded, they literally beat 2 of them. and that's the thing to me that is kind of weird, is that, okay, you lost to Michigan. It was a terrible, terrible loss if you're an Ohio State fan. Yet, you're going to get into the playoff, and you have every chance to win a national championship this year if you can play a little bit better. And I think that's a good thing with the playoff. Do you like that aspect of what the playoff is bringing? And is too much put on one game, whether it's, you know, Alabama-Auburn or Georgia-Alabama or Texas-Texas A&M or Ohio State-Michigan?
I mean, I think it's playing out as well, if not better than I expected, in that we have so widened the pool of games that mattered. I mean, if you put yourself in the headspace of any season before this one, certainly in the 4-team playoff, you would get down to last weekend and there'd be 5, maybe 6 teams still with a realistic shot. Yep. And their games would be huge nationally. And everybody else would be playing for a New Year's Six Bowl or the Gator Bowl or whatever it may be. So many more of those games matter now. I mean, I'm going to the Boise State UNLV game Friday night because it's literally a play-in to the playoff. That's not a game I would have thought of covering in the past. Now, does it mean that this, you know, that Ohio State can suffer this awful loss to Michigan and still be in? Does that mean it, you know, makes that game less important? Not from what I'm seeing of Ohio State fans right now. I don't think anybody's like, that was a terrible loss, but we can still win the national championship. So, you know, well, we'll just move on with our lives. I mean, it feels every bit as catastrophic as it would have in the past, even if it didn't necessarily end their ultimate goal.
Stuart, you know, a lot of people around here calling for Ryan Day's head. I'm sure that if somebody wanted to write that check for $37.3 million to buy out on yesterday, we would have saw somebody step up. I didn't see anybody do it. How much is that going to help him kind of hang on to this job and maybe change the opportunity despite the fact he's 0-4 against Michigan?
I'm not focused as much on...
I'm sorry, 1-4. Yep. 1-4.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not in Ross Bjork's shoes. I don't know, but I just find it hard to imagine how he comes back from this, even if it's not Ohio State's call. It reminds me very much of sitting there. I was in Vegas for the NCAA tournament the first weekend, and I'm watching the end of the Kentucky-Oakland game, and I'm thinking, if he loses, Calipari loses this game, there's no way he's coming back to be the Kentucky coach again. Like, it's just the relationship's over, and that's what happened. He left for Arkansas. And I don't know if Ryan Day has a plan B and an exit plan like that, but when you hear him say things like he said last week about how the three-game losing streak to Michigan has been the worst thing that's ever happened to his family, I thought Pat Forty wrote a really excellent column from the game, and he was standing on the sideline. He saw Ryan Day's teenage daughter sobbing before the game was even over. I mean, you got to deal with that for another 365 days with no guarantee you're going to end it next year. So, but in the meantime, possible national title run. So it's not, you know, timing of this has all changed. I think you either have to, if you're going to fire your coach, you either have to do it right now, because the portal opens next week, or you don't do it till, you know, after possibly the whenever your team gets eliminated. So I don't think they're in a position to buy somebody out or fire somebody right now. But Ryan Day might have a career decision to make.
You know, I'm totally intrigued by the thought of Ohio State hosting a playoff game. You know, there's never been a game this late in the year at Ohio Stadium. And I think it's a fascinating twist on the college football season. Just your thoughts on that. I mean, I know it feels like the end of the world in Columbus, but it's not because of the new landscape of the game. So, and I'm totally excited about the fact that they, you know, they probably should have the opportunity to host the game here, depending on how things go. But I feel pretty good about it.
I've been looking forward to this aspect of the 12-team playoff from the minute it was announced. We've never had on-campus playoff games. I mean, watching the Buffalo game in the snow last night, I'm like, God, I really hope that happens at one of the I hope I'm not at that game, but I hope from the TV perspective,
Good move.
Somebody has a 20-degree, you know, freezing, you know, playing in the snow game, because we've never had that before. And I'm a huge fan of going to the Rose Bowl and going to somewhere warm for New Year's, right? Like that.
Right.
That's a great tradition and great for the fans. But I think this will be a new one. I mean, I think people will say, man, I cannot believe, like in my mock bracket, or like projected bracket, you have Penn State hosting Miami in a first-round game.
Yes.
Miami coming to the cold in December. You know, obviously that's you know, there's great history with those two teams. Like, that's what it's all about. And whatever it ends up being, I mean, I think the one we know for sure, I think, is Notre Dame will be hosting a game because their season's over. You know, Penn State will be if they lose to Oregon. You can kind of, you know, start looking at those possibilities. And Ohio State, we'll see where they fall. I mean, I think they could be a 7 seed, an 8 seed, a 9 seed, somewhere in that department. But, you know, obviously the difference between 8 and 9 is whether you're hosting or going on the road.
Yeah.
Stuart Mandel joining us. He covers college football for The Athletic, talks about college football on his podcast, The Audible. Explain this one to me, Stuart. And though I live in Ohio, I'm not a diehard Ohio State fan. You know, you always want the big school in your state to win, but I'm not a diehard. I've never understood the, and it's probably my fault, the pat of if we beat Michigan, it's a successful season. And I'm more in, especially now, hey, you got a chance to win the national championship. You lost a game, but that's okay. That's the way this is now. How do you balance that? And do you have to balance that? All right, compete for a national championship and beat our big rival. And if you don't do one or the other, you're not a successful head coach.
Well, I think it's particularly unique to Ohio State, Michigan, and in particular to this period of Ohio State, Michigan, because John Cooper survived for 13 years. He you know, going 2-10-1 against Michigan, but they had some great teams in there that, you know, one that almost won the national title and a couple more that were close to that. And that was considered, I mean, I know the fans weren't happy about it, but it wasn't it didn't seem like a fireable offense to be fielding top 10 teams that happened to lose that one game. And I just think it really intensified first with Urban Meyer, putting all the emphasis on it that he did. than Harbaugh and Connor Stallions. Like, it just, I think it's just reached a point where it means so much right now. And especially, look, Ohio State's not used to being in this position. For years and years, they dominated this rivalry. So I don't know that it's always going to be that way. I mean, I think in most cases, you know, if you're going to play for the national championship, then that one game doesn't necessarily outweigh that. But it just doesn't feel like that in this rivalry right now.
Stuart, does that change if they move the game?
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Earlier into the season, because we've heard both coaches say that the way things are going to shake out, they don't know that they're necessarily going to be able to hang on to Ohio State and Michigan as the last game, you know, around Thanksgiving. And if they do move that, I personally think it changes the dynamic a little bit, because you know the history of this game is rooted in the fact that when it was the Big Two, Little Eight, that the team who won this game was going to the Rose Bowl, right? And so we're not anywhere near those days anymore. And if they move this game off the last weekend of the season, doesn't it kind of just become like Penn State a little bit was for Ohio State this year?
Yeah, I think so, because you're on to the next one the next week. You know, part of the sting of losing this game is that think of last year's game. The winner of that was going to go to the Big Ten title game in the playoff. Mm-hmm. And the loser, and so when that happened, that happens to what Michigan did that, and then Ohio, it was 30-24, right? It wasn't a blowout.
Right.
Michigan moved on and ended up winning the national championship. And Ohio State, I think within a week of that, the quarterback transferred, right? The Cotton Bowl became a big consolation. It's just such a drastic difference. And right now, even as Ohio State gets ready for a playoff game, like, they're going to sit with that feeling for a few weeks. So I think you're right. Like, the OU-Texas game is always the second weekend in October, and there have been some pretty crushing wins or losses one way or the other. But they got to go on with their season, and I do think the timing of it matters.
Stuart, how do you think this affects the playoffs? Is going to affect guys that normally would be like, "Oh, I'm not playing in the bowl game." Like, I think this is another benefit of the way things are set up, that those guys they're going to want to play for their team if they're in the playoffs rather than in a meaningless bowl. Mm-hmm. So, am I correct in thinking that this is going to stop guys from wanting to say, "I'm done. I'm done. I'm not going to play in a bowl game"?
Well, I mean, that's a big reason we're here, right? Like.
Yeah.
They didn't go to a 12-team playoff because there's 12 teams that can win the national championship. We all know that's not the case. We all know that there's going to be some teams that get into this field that aren't particularly great. But we had reached a point where if you weren't in one of two bowl games, the rest didn't matter. And I think a real, honestly, big moment for that was when Ohio State had some guys opt out of the Rose Bowl, right?
Yep.
So that was unthinkable in a previous era. So now you're incentivized to, at least for these 12 teams, for guys to play. I think we'll see. The portal opens next week, obviously, And I'm not worried that Ohio State stars or anybody's stars are going to enter the portal. I'm worried that your two or your three backup quarterbacks might, or your, you know, an area where you're not that deep to begin with. And a couple, because a lot of these schools, these guys that aren't playing as much as they want to are not going to wait till January 20th to leave, because you got to, you know, school starts, you got to pick your school. You got to be, if you want to be in spring practice, you got to be enrolled. So that I don't think you can really stop. And we'll see if anybody gets particularly hit hard here in terms of their depth as they get into the playoff run.
Stuart, last thought. Is Ryan Day the coach of the Buckeyes next year?
At the risk of getting, like, aggregated. I have a hard time seeing it. I really do. The only way I could see it is if they have that magical postseason run and everybody loves them again. But, you know, right now it's hard to see this team doing that. But obviously, you know, a lot of teams have proven me wrong before in their ability to be resilient. But if this ends up, you know, short, and certainly well short of the national title game, I have a hard time envisioning that.
Great to have you with us, Stuart Mandel. He's from The Athletic, writes about college football. His podcast, The Audible. Make sure you listen to it. Talks college football like crazy. Stuart, thank you.
Thank you. Great stuff, Stuart. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Right. You know, USA Today said, though, Ohio State would owe Day $37.3 million in a buyout if they chose to fire him yesterday. So,
what if they fire him today?
He's the fifth highest paid coach in college football. He's making over $10 million a year this season. So,
I wonder why the buyout would be exclusive to yesterday.
Well, maybe at the end of the season. Maybe it changes after
maybe
the season's over. So,
yeah, I don't know.
You know, so there's still there's still a lot on the line for Ohio State. I understand the devastation, and I know how frustrated I was after watching the game, and I know how frustrated fans were, and alumni especially, because that place was buzzing on Saturday. And there's no doubt about it, Ohio State had home field advantage, and it wasn't for a lack of fans, and fans who were upset about, what, six straight games that started at noon all season long. And, you know, the thought of, you know, not being able to go to Indianapolis again, not being able to make that Big Ten championship game, which this year is extremely meaningful and probably would have given you a week off going into the finals should you win the next game. So, you know, they've been playing playoff games every week since the Oregon game. And they came through on every game. And, you know, you go back and look at what they did against Indiana and how exciting that was. And they just couldn't carry it through to the next week. It's hard not to look at the play calling on offense.
Let me go back to something you said early in the show.
Mm-hmm.
They've lost two games by a total of 4 points.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, maybe six if you want them to win. How's that sound?
They've played a pretty good schedule. They've beaten some top ranked teams.
Three top five teams.
Ryan Day clearly recruits some top notch talent. Now, Jack, our buddy, sent me an email, and he went through and looked up, you know, what kind of recruits have been getting on the offensive line. They've not been good. Unranked players, mainly, that he's talked about.
Again, okay, I'm still real hesitant.
But here's my point. Here's my point, though.
Go ahead.
Here's my point. If you think he is a good recruiter, brings in great skill position people, does a nice job running the program, representing the program, wins like crazy except against one team.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you want to be patient and hope that he figures it out against the other team? Because everything else that he does, I think, is top-notch. I really do. I think the guy's a heck of a football coach. Now, I thought he did a terrible job during the week in his comments leading up to the game, because all that does is take a young college football player's intensity and make it more intense, and intensity isn't always a good thing if it makes you nervous. I thought some of his comments were terrible. But wouldn't you want to be patient and think, okay, he's going to figure out this Michigan thing, because everything else this guy does is top-notch?
I think part of the problem, especially here in Northeast Ohio, and, you know, Central Ohio is a totally different beast too, is that our level of expectation for what we expect out of these two programs is completely different. You know, when we talk about the Browns and we talk about the Buckeyes. For the Browns, we're excited if you can get to a 500 season and are able to play meaningful football games in December. In Columbus, and for Buckeye fans around Northeast Ohio, winning is everything. And while some of the air got let out of the tire by the fact that you don't have to win every game anymore to have a chance to win a national championship, I think that's it's changed. I just think the whole paradigm of college football has changed. You can't look at things the same way. But there is a level of expectation for Ohio State football fans that is, I think, sometimes above reasonable. Like, I was listening to some of the promos from the morning show this morning. I get it, and I understand it. But the days of having to go through a season to be perfect or have one loss to have a chance at a championship are over. And
do the fans need to understand that?
No, they do. Do they need to understand it? Yes. Will they? No, they're not. There will always be
because you lost to Michigan.
No, because we spent so much time.
If you win the national championship and you lost to Michigan, is it going to be a successful season?
Yes, that's a successful season.
See,
if you win
I think so too.
I mean, I don't know how it can't be. You won the national championship, so you gotta. So you'll have a blemish on your face for the whole year that you lost to Michigan, and Michigan fans will hang their hands.
That's a serious zit.
That is. I mean, you need to execute that thing like nobody's business. But I also think that it's a matter of rethinking. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm looking forward to the Michigan game if it gets moved up earlier in the year. I also feel like, and I'm one of those people, so I'm not calling you arrogant. I'm calling me arrogant too, that something happened after Trestle won that national championship that changed the entire thought process of the program. It just changed everything. And the arrogance of Ohio State fans went through the roof, especially with the domination of Michigan. And I'm in there. I'm in that group with you. I'm one of those fans that became somewhat arrogant about expecting Ohio State to win every game. But and anyone that knows that program and has been around that program for more than 25 years, or and I go, maybe I'm living in ancient times in the way I expected things to be back in the day, but Ohio State football was different before they won that national championship with Trestle, and things changed. And I mean, I'm done with the let's X out all the M's and the let's not say the name of the team, and because I think it's a much bigger deal in Ohio than it is in Michigan. I just think it's a much bigger deal here because we make it into this gigantic thing, and when they lose, it becomes a huge brick wall. That's a problem.
Kevin is in thriving Cuyahoga Falls. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Kev.
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Good, good. How are you?
Fantastic. So, although I am a Kent State alum, I'm very proud of that. I grew up in Columbus. All of my relatives that went to college are all OSU alumni. So, I was quite the fan and within my family when I went to Kent State. But let me just say, I still have friends and family in Columbus. Andy, you nailed it 100%. You are exactly right. The tenor in Columbus is 1,000% different than here in the Cleveland area. It really is. Mm. And you're right. Alumni and people that are donors to the college, and I know some members of the President's Club, their expectations are you beat
ding.
Michigan, period. Yeah, thank you, ding. Period, end of story. You beat Michigan. I mean, you can lose. They could have lost the Indiana game. I'm here to tell you right now because I've had these conversations over the weekend. They could have lost the Indiana or Penn State game, and if they would have come back and beat Michigan, all would be good with them. They would be happy as larks right now and would be so proud that Day's their coach because he beat Michigan. You're right, Andy. The expectations within Buckeye Nation, especially in Columbus, around beating Michigan are so high that anything less than a win is – absolute failure in their eyes. And so, yeah, I think I agree with the expert you had earlier. Even if he wins the national championship, the people I know still want him gone, even with that. And that's how high those expectations are. And that's how much emphasis on that Michigan game. It's that or nothing. And he's blown it four times. And this is Cooper era all over again.
Yeah,
and guys that are our age remember Cooper, and they don't want any bit of that anymore. And as far as they're concerned, they're all saying, he's Cooper again. Get rid of him. Everybody I know has said that this weekend.
Yeah, I also think it doesn't help that Mike Vrabel's available. Whether Mike wants to go back and coach college football or not, I personally would love to see Vrabel go in there and just blow through any records that Urban Meyer would have had. I don't know. I just the whole Urban Meyer, like you can see there's a feud there between the two of those guys. And I would love nothing more than to see Mike Vrabel shatter anything that Urban Meyer did at Ohio State. But that's just me.
Bill's in Parma. Hello, Bill.
Great. Hey, you guys. Great program again. You know, I did a little bit of statistical analysis.
Oh, here we go.
Nice.
Yeah. And
you are poised to set a starting lineup in Major League
like
Baseball.
Like it.
Congratulations.
You know, even though I barely passed statistics, that does not matter, you guys. I want you to know this. This is what the Ohio State fan is really complaining about and should be complaining about. And that is, in the last 20 years, SEC teams have won the national championship 15 times. Big Ten, 2. One Ohio State, one Michigan. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, a smattering of Florida State, Clemson, USC type things. Mm-hmm. That's not good for the Big Ten. Then if you look at strength of schedule this year, the SEC had 8 of the top 10 strength of schedule. Ohio State had 20. Indiana was 65. Penn State, 32. Most of who Ohio State played in the Big Ten, Rutgers or whoever, those other teams, they were from like 40 to 60. Boise State, who could go to the playoff, had the easiest strength of schedule at 65. Notre Dame, who has no business being in it, had strength of schedule of 52. SMU,
Billy, you're getting to me now.
Yeah. SMU 64. And here's the question. When you really look at what they're wanting to do is find the real champion, the national champion. Well, you know, we had TCU a couple years ago go, yeah. And they just got the wheels blown off of them. It was embarrassing that they were even in the Final Four or whatever.
Which the news system should alleviate, right, Bill?
But it's not, because SMU is going to get in. SMU had a
real. They're not going to get to the championship game.
Well, I get it, Jeff.
You think?
But if you're really looking at who should be the national championship, it shouldn't be let's schedule, like Notre Dame, let's schedule, you know, the little sisters of the poor, and we'll be undefeated, and we'll go because we're an independent team. And here's the thing I think is what's going to happen with Ohio State. I agree with you that Brian Day is a good guy. I do. He's a great recruiter, though I don't understand why you have to go to Kansas State, my mother's alma mater, to get your quarterback.
I thought that was a little weird too, Bill.
Yeah, and I thought they got, you know, top tier, five-star, and that didn't look like there was anybody on that team the other day that was a five-star player. So what do I think is going to happen? I think they've already made up their mind that Day can't get them to the championship, and that's what they want. He's going to be gone, and they're going to say to themselves, anybody of the assistant coaches can lead the team going into the national championship finals, and will do just as good as Day.
So, Bill, I'm going to give Bill one stat real quick before it goes, because he had all those great stats.
Thank you, Bill.
Here's the biggest stat of all. $300 million per year. That's what the SEC got from CBS when they went to their own television deal.
Nice.
Big Ten gets $1.5 billion a year. A year. A year. I'll say that again. So all the statistics about winning and losing, at the end of the day, when it comes to the checkbook and who's making more, it's the Big Ten.
Hmm.
Does winning and losing matter when you're making cash?
Well, to fan bases it does, doesn't it?
Hmm.
That's the thought. It's Baskin and Phelps. Top-notch chicken tenders. Top-notch. So if you're out in the area.
Meredith, what'd you?
If you want to.
I had a chicken sandwich.
How was yours? Good?
It was delicious. Also, they don't have it today because it's the weekday, but on the weekends they have a brunch. I feel like I have to plug that brunch menu because I've had it before and it is outstanding.
The salads are amazing. That's the other word here, too.
Are amazing.
I don't know if I look like a salad guy, but from what I'm hearing, I could become a salad guy if I was here. We got the buffet over there. You've got all kinds of stuff going on here, too. They got the Valley Edge Steak and Seafood is here, too. So they've got all kinds of great food. I'm telling you, I would come back, even if I didn't feel like, because I kind of like to sit down at the machines for a little while.
I never knew that about you.
But I would come back just for the chicken fingers. I'm not kidding.
Oh, they were.
Those were really good.
They were top-notch.
Yeah, they were outstanding.
They were really good. Yeah. Tap Sports Bar and Grill here at MGM Northfield Park, by all means. Come on out with the afternoon, guys. I took a quick count, Andy, just the televisions in our line of sight. They're like 20. And then that doesn't include the big seating area over here.
Yeah, are they blocking our view for dessert, though? That's my question.
Dessert? We don't need dessert.
We don't need no dessert?
We don't need dessert.
No, man.
So stop on out, and the afternoon guys will be here. Stop on out.
The dessert looked good. Where's that menu?
Just, if you want to have a good time, come on out. You'll enjoy it very much. Great place to watch a sporting event, no question. Tap Sports Bar and Grill here at MGM Northfield Park.
I thought I saw cheesecake on there. Sorry.
Oh, good Lord. You don't need cheesecake.
Does anyone ever really need it, though?
No, which is why we should get it.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, there you go. Oh, we're getting the thumbs up over there. But there's got to be other. I'm not a huge cheesecake guy, but.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. I'm really not. My wife loves cheesecake.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised my kids don't. Our kids don't like them because when she was pregnant, like, that was her big craving, was cheesecake. Like, I can't tell you how many times I had to run out in the middle of the night and go find cheesecake.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Okay.
I gained so much sympathy. My whole life changed by sympathy weight.
Congratulations.
You think I could shake it now? I'm, you know, almost two decades into this thing of having kids. So.
No.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Cavaliers last night getting a win over the Boston Celtics. I expressed
what a win.
Early on.
Yes.
The only – they're playing great ball. They're doing a really nice job. Their team is fun to watch. I thought the team needed improvement on the offense from last year. Obviously, they agreed because they fired the coach.
Sure.
I think they could have improved the offense and kept J.B. Bickerstaff, who I think did a tremendous job with the defense. All that said, I like what Kenny Atkinson is doing offensively. I don't think their defense is as good as it once was. That's okay, because as long as you have more points than the other team, you win the game.
Yeah, that's mattered, what, three times? It's weird because I wonder what we would be saying today had they not had that huge fourth quarter yesterday and came back, especially after the games against the Hawks. Right? It would
Cavs
have been a
right
weird,
now,
weird
yeah.
weekend.
Yeah, Cavs right now in the middle of the pack in points allowed in the Eastern Conference. But that's okay because they're scoring more points than anybody else in the NBA right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really good thing.
Yep.
Only issue I have, Andy, and I've said it, and I feel like a doof even saying it.
Oh, don't sell yourself short. You are a tremendous doof.
I think Donovan Mitchell is a great player. He's one of the upper echelon guys in the league. I love this offense when they share the ball and it moves and guys, a variety of guys get shots. And I know in some games lately they've had to have you know, the big guy step up, and that big guy being Donovan. And he's had to take a lot of shots. But I don't like this. And, again, this is such a minor nitpick. But in the last three games, he's taken 21, 23, and 24 shots, and 29 in that loss in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And they're 1-3 in those games. I think they're a better team. And this isn't on Donovan. This is on everybody else, more so, I think, Andy, than Donovan. He gets in a situation where, hey, man, we got to win this thing. Give me the ball. I appreciate that. The other guys need to make themselves available. They need to be aggressive. Coaching staff needs to make sure they get them the ball, because I think they're a better team and really tough to beat when everybody is getting a decent amount of shots.
Here's the only problem I'm having with your argument is because I'm living in the moment from last night.
Yeah, baby.
All he had to do was touch the ball in the fourth quarter, and he was going through the hoop.
No,
he
could have walked. I get that.
He could have crossed the half-court line and just put it up, and it was going in. I mean, when the guy gets hot like he did yesterday, and again, Jeff, how often do you score 43 points in a quarter? I mean, that was
insane.
Pretty amazing, especially against the best team in the Eastern Conference. We can agree on that, right?
Well, the team that, until they're proven not to be, I think you have to say that, yes.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, I look at last night's game, and again, I at least for 24 hours, I'm going to live in the bubble when they get a great win like they did last night against Boston. That's a great win for them. Because anybody that was questioning whether the schedule was soft or, oh, okay, here we go, look at Atlanta, you know, like they're one of those bubble playoff teams this year, at least they are right now, that, you know, you look at Atlanta right now and you're like, oh, well, maybe this, they're starting to show their true colors because they couldn't beat Atlanta, blah, 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 blah. Who cares, man? They came back last night. They beat Boston. Everybody thinks Boston's the team you're going to have to beat to try to get to the NBA Finals, try to get back to that promised land, and they did what they needed to do last night. And, you know, I'm glad that Donovan Mitchell had the fourth quarter that he did, because obviously they're not winning if he doesn't, but he proved to be worth every penny in last night's game. And I love watching this team. They're so much fun every night, and especially on those nights when they're moving the ball the way you just said. But you know what? If they're going to win a game against Boston the way they did last night, so be it. I'm good with it. My concern then would be the same as yours, that if you get into a best of seven series against Boston, you're not going to win four games winning the way they did last night. I'm sorry. There's no way any human's going to stay that hot for that many games.
Cleveland's in Cleveland.
Hello, Cleveland.
Hello, Cleveland.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Cleveland, great. Your last name's not Brown, is it? Now, that would be awesome.
No.
You should just change it for the purpose of the show.
Right. No, I'll keep Cleveland and just go with that.
Gotcha.
But anyway, Jeff, you said earlier, talking about the Celtics were missing a couple of people, but we were missing a couple of starters, too, and they're good on defense. And I'll listen to your comment on that for me. All right, bye.
All right, Cleveland. Thank you. Max Strus was a starter last year, and Dean Wade is a starter when they decide that Dean Wade should start. Let's not be silly. I like both of those guys. Derek White and Jaylen Brown are completely different level players than the guys who were out for the Cavs last night. So, end of conversation there.
Yeah.
But that doesn't matter. Guys are out in the NBA. Celtics showed up. Whatever they put out on the floor, you have to beat them. And they did.
It's all that matters. It's a win, man. Yeah. I don't care who's on the floor.
They had Kristaps Porzingis back.
Yeah, and we were missing guys in Boston, too.
Were missing Porzingis.
Yeah. I don't know. I just remember, I'm trying to remember who had the ball. There was a ball that was late in the game. It was one of the last buckets of the game. And Okoro got elbowed in the back to create space. And Boston was able to hit a bucket late in the game, and I'm trying to remember who hit it for Boston last night to free things up. But I don't – you know, there are all kinds of little moments throughout that game, and when it's all said and done, your man that you pay the most money to out there got the job done, and outstanding game. Not only from Donovan, but, you know, Darius played extremely well again last night, I thought. And then you got a couple guys off the bench to give you double figures.
Browns, Broncos tonight. Two keys and a lock on the big Monday Night Showdown next on Baskin and Phelps.